Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or visit mensteaclinic.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You have Corey Majors and Chris Strong.
Food coma.
Is in with us for the day. Normally it would be Medford, but Chris said on fair day, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And pushed his way in.
I'm proud of you.
Also, on a Cowboys victory Monday, and I just want to say this. There's a couple of things. First of all, we've heard a lot of positive stuff. We'll talk with Stephen Jones at noon. We've also got Richard Sherman coming up at about 11:45. Jake Ferguson tweeted out, God is good. Now, there has been buzz from Steven, from Mike, from Dak, that you avoided a major catastrophe with Jake Ferguson, which would have been a downer for what was an otherwise spectacular day. And there is no one, I don't think anyone's even going to try this. I don't want to hear any excuses.
I dare you.
The Cowboys went on the road and beat a team that we think is going to be good. Now, if you want to revisit that in a couple of months, that's fine. This team had a lot of expectations in the Cleveland Browns, and they got worked by the Cowboys.
That is interesting because, Kevin, when we discussed our playoff teams, the four that are going to be new to it. I did kick Cleveland out. So that's
right. Everybody except for Corey Mike thought Cleveland was going to be good, and that's why we shipped Mike off this week.
But they were a playoff team last year, and Deshaun Watson, like, they spent a lot to get him. Cowboys made him look very human.
Hey, for the record, he did a good job of making himself look like that a couple of times.
Yeah.
There was a couple of non-pressure situations that I'm like, who's that for?
Some of his throws just, and maybe some of it was because there was so much pressure around him all day. By the third quarter, he looked like he didn't want to be there anymore. After they scored their touchdown, it was like, oh, crap. Now I just made them play harder again.
Right.
And he was just tired of getting hit. And I heard Bobby say 17 quarterback hits, which was about 18% of their total quarterback hits last year for the Cowboys. So the 17 quarterback hits from the Cowboys defense. It's one of those exceptional moments right there. That's a, look, man, it was a positive day. It's game one, positive to take away from it. You got a win on the road. You stunk on the road last year. This is a good thing to take away from it. And there were plenty of things that we can dive into and say this was good, and very few things that you can say was miserable and is really going to hurt the team.
From the 7-6-3, we'll get around to this. How about them Vikings? Darnold better than y'all thought. Maybe not all of us. But
let's see it play out even long for a whole season.
I choose not to.
Yeah.
I will take this mini victory right here. Here's what I'm curious about.
Oh, there it is. They were missing both tackles. Let me just point this out, Kevin. James Hudson III last year played 16 games. He also started 7 of those games. Also, DeJuan Johnson played in 11 games last year and started 9. By the way, there was a 4 or 5 game winning streak in those games that he was playing in. So what was the excuse last year? Why is it an excuse this year? Because it shouldn't have been an excuse. They were an 11-6 playoff team last year. So what's the reason this year that they're not any good? I understand that those other guys are supposed to be the starters. These guys played for a winning team last year, and they helped the team win. So there's no excuse saying that they were missing both starting tackles. My apologies for that.
Now, from the 817, I'm going to eat crow on the Cowboys. Can't lie. I really didn't expect them to come out and look so good, great, to start the season. So I'm kind of curious about this, Corey. Like, look, I understand this is our job, but we were also born and raised in the Metroplex. So I'm watching the Cowboys. I'm loving the Cowboys. Even if I feel like they're going to end up doing the splits and punching me in the junk to finish the season.
Yeah, we will.
But what I want to know is when 3:25 rolled around yesterday, or hell, maybe with the fan pregame at 12:30, when the time came around, were you like, all right, I'm ready to get hurt again? Because we've talked about apathy with this fan base all year long. Like, you've seen it on the fan text, the Twitch, the YouTube. We saw it or didn't see it at training camp. But when it all came to pass and it was time to play actual, real football that mattered, did people jump in? Were they like, yeah, okay, I'm in?
I mean, you're going to watch the ratings, right? So either if they were in for positive or negative, they were there.
Yeah.
The ratings are going to tell that story still. Kevin, every year for me, I mean, just like the Rangers season, just like the Mavericks season, every year I don't take the 30 past years and say, oh, man, because honestly, Clint Sterner had nothing to do with what Dak's doing.
Sure.
All right. So, like, there's a lot of things.
You're right.
And every year is different. I mean, you start over at 0-0, and you can go on and do other things. Things can be great. Things can be worse. So that's where I kind of start my season. Absolutely, I was in yesterday. I was like, all right, I know what this team is when it comes to their running game. I know what Dak Prescott is. Can he look sharper? I'm very interested to see the Mike Zimmer defense. I wanted to see if I was right about Eric Kendricks, and I feel like so far we're doing pretty good there.
I mean, he had an unbelievable game.
So, by the time we got past, because I started my morning, I had a great weekend of football. I told you earlier, my weekend of football was awesome.
Your weekend had to be infinitely better than the weekend of football of Derek Holland. Let's just mention it real quick.
Yeah.
He traveled up to Michigan to root for the Wolverines against Texas, and they got absolutely smashed. And then he drove to Cleveland to root for the Browns, and they also got punched in the face. It was a tough weekend for Mr. Holland.
But I sat down in the morning and I turned on the laptop. I had the Texans and the Colts because that was the most interesting game that was going to be played in full. And then I had it on Red Zone all the way up to kickoff. And Kevin, once it started, I was like, all right, it was an exciting time to be a Cowboys fan again. I was very concerned, though, to start that game in that first drive. I was very concerned that Dak Prescott almost died because Zach Martin missed a block, and I was like, oh, no, this is going to be the worst. But then things woke up. Everybody woke up and got going. This is a team we got to figure out. The one thing that I'm going to judge them on from here on, they have to get better at coming out and starting hot.
Yeah.
Because as every time we get to the playoffs, it's always a very slow thing. And I need the Cowboys to start off a little hotter. But once they got rolling, I felt pretty good. Also, I felt very good about the rookies on the offensive line. They showed up.
What about the secondary, too?
Yeah. Well, the Tyler Guyton, there are a lot of things, a lot of positives. He still has a lot of work to do to be a dominant left tackle. There were a lot of positives in the way that he played. And Kevin, I think you told me earlier, by the second half, you kind of almost were like, where is Myles Garrett?
Yeah.
And then watching Cooper Beebe, he looked really good in the middle of that offensive line. I'm happy right now.
And I kept juxtaposing it with what the Cowboys were doing. For example, like, you heard about Micah Parsons on every other play. DeMarcus Lawrence just absolutely destroyed Deshaun Watson. Osa Odighizuwa was moving around there, and you're like, holy cow, look at this go. And Jordan Phillips, right? Was he the one who put the hit on Deshaun that I thought was going to be a penalty because he drove him through the turf about?
How about that deep?
Yes, there were so many impacts, or at least names you heard continually for the Cowboys defensive line. And on the other side, once you got past the first quarter, the Browns were like, hey, we're trying our best.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, Kevin, I'm a little disappointed in Kalen Carson.
Oh.
Kalen Carson.
Is he couldn't hold on to the ball?
From the 2-1-4, he should have had at least two picks, maybe three. So let's grab that. All right, let's grab that, make sure we secure it, turn it around, go upfield, learn from Diggs. Don't learn how to tackle from Diggs, but learn how to, because the leg whip, Kevin, the leg whip moment that happened because he didn't tackle appropriately. Yeah. He tried to fake, I'm going to lay down on in front of Diggs. I love you, man. You are a fantastic cover cornerback. I need you to tackle the right way. Just do it the right way and nobody gets hurt. All right. If you do it the right way, nobody's going to get hurt. All right.
It was interesting that Carson correctly jumped a route and then didn't get the interception. Like, he saw it. He was like, I got it. And then he didn't get the pick, which is confusing.
The other thing too, Kevin, this is how I approach it. The first watch live is Corey, the fan of the Cowboys.
Okay.
So I try to watch the game and just be into the game. Second watch is where I start like going, okay, I didn't watch BB and Guyton. So I had to watch them on the second run through. And then I needed to watch on the third run through, had to watch the Cowboys defensive line and to keep an eye on those things. Cause during game, when I'm just being fan, I'm watching football, where the football's going. So I'm not paying attention to some of the other things that are going on in the trenches. Kevin,
got a note for you. Jake Ferguson. Ian Rappaport is rapporting that Jake Ferguson has a sprained MCL, which it means he'll miss some time. Not great, but were we all afraid for just a second when he went down that was going to be season over for him?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the way that he grabbed his leg, yeah, it was like, no. There was a moment where I saw him walking. Like they had him and they were all under him and he was like, no, just let me walk. And I was like, okay, that could be a positive right there. And that's a tough dude right there. Like, that is a tough man, but this is great news to hear. It could be something that I don't know. What's the time? Do we have a time frame on this? Maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. Maybe 2 to 4.
And listen, from the 214, and I've seen this a couple times, relax. Don't give him the Lombardi yet. I'm going to wait till December and January to judge. Okay. That's fine. We have to judge the one game that just happened. That's our job.
Sure.
So I'm walking in here today telling you what happened in yesterday's game. I can't predict the rest of the season for you, but I can tell you what happened in yesterday's game. The Cowboys destroyed a good football team yesterday, or destroyed a miserable football team. But either way, they destroyed them yesterday.
And you went on the road. Look, if I'll tell you right now, I hope everybody stays. I want everybody to stay and listen to this show all day, all week, all month, all year. If you're tuning,
do whatever you want.
If you're tuned, that's true. I would prefer if you stayed.
Okay.
If you're tuning in this week for us to talk about who cares because you know they're going to lose in the playoffs,
not going to happen.
That's not me. I'm not going to do that. Do I think that's what's going to happen? In the back of my head, yes. I already said I think they'll go 10-7, get the wild card, and lose in the first round of the playoffs. But I want to be wrong. Don't we all want to be wrong? Like, if you have those feelings, don't you desperately want to be wrong and be like, yes, this is what happened last year, the year before, and the 27 other years before that. But this year, maybe you're going to be wrong. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I know the odds are against you, but today you went on the road and won a game in the NFL. So I don't care about the rest of it. I don't care if you think the Browns should go 0-17. You went on the road and won a game in the NFL, and you got off to a start in a game that you were an underdog in. I'm excited about that. Does that mean they're going to win the Super Bowl? Hell no.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe. But you started off 1-0, which is sure as hell a lot better than the alternative.
Yeah, and I can't not enjoy the season because I'm scared of something that's going to happen in the future.
Fair.
The Cowboys also, their defense held all their running backs under 50 yards. It was 93 total yards, and 39 of that came from Deshaun Watson. Now, Kevin, that is something that plagued the team a little bit last year, was a running quarterback. Deshaun Watson was running for his life.
And did you get the feeling that he gained those yards when the Cowboys quit caring?
Like, yes.
I'm not going to say, I don't think anyone's going to step up there and to a man, they're going to be like, hey, once Turpin returned that punt, I was done for the day. Like, I'm not saying that happened, but mentally, I could see how you would think that. Let me ask you a quick question, because I know a lot of people want to talk about Tom Brady as well.
Oh, really?
Is there any part of you that thought, especially in his first game ever, when it was 27-3, that Tom Brady was disappointed that the Cowboys didn't go for two on that play? Because then he could spend the rest of the second half talking about, hey, just because you're down 28-3 doesn't mean the game's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, that thought crossed my mind immediately when I was like, just waiting for Tom Brady to go, I don't know. I've seen people come back from this deficit before.
I will tell you this, Kevin. During the game, a father-in-law got in town. Adrian was hanging out with some friends. Lucy was right there between us, and she talked. I've never heard her talk this much. Yeah. So I was totally into it. I was like, look, I'll turn the TV down and let you talk over Tom Brady for a while. But I didn't mind Tom Brady's approach to this. I don't think he quite understood that Brandon Aubrey is as good as Brandon Aubrey is, because he was like, no, it's time to punt. And they're like, no, this is a 66-yarder. We're going to be okay here. But that is probably the biggest letdown of the entire day yesterday, that Mike McCarthy chose to do a Hail Mary with a quarterback who doesn't quite have the arm to throw that Hail Mary, and not give Brandon Aubrey the opportunity to kick a 71-yard field goal.
Or call a timeout. I don't care if you thought the play clock was properly reset or not.
They should.
You had the timeout. You had the timeout that you could have just wasted right there and let him kick it. And yeah, I saw it. Did you hear the fans erupt? I know that was like a split, if not pro Cowboys fan base. But when he made that 66-yard field goal, you saw people in Browns gear was like, yes!
I think the Browns fans were even pretty excited about that.
Yes.
They were like, now we don't have to deal with Justin Tucker being at the top of the list. The dude that's in our division always kicking these long field goals in our face. Now we have at least somebody else at the top of it with them.
I'm going to make a plea to the people who run the NFL rule book. I know this is probably not going to happen, but hear me out, Corey.
Fix it.
Brandon Aubrey made a 66-yard field goal in the preseason. Brandon Aubrey made a 66-yard field goal that was 1 second too late, or a timeout too late. Why don't we just merge those two things and be like, you know what? I've seen him make it twice. That's good enough for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and put him in the record book. Yeah. I know it's probably not going to happen. And yes, for people asking, I did think they were going to let him kick it from 71 yards.
I really did.
Especially because the game was so lopsided at that point. I was like, go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, with the amount of time that was left, the only thing that could have been the bad thing out of that was it gets returned for a touchdown, right? They catch it, it gets returned for a touchdown. The thing that happened with Dak for the Hail Mary, I was terrified for that moment. That could have gone wrong.
And he got hit on that,
I would have rather them have just kneeled it out at that point and said,
sure,
all right, we'll see you later on this. But, man, I would have loved to see that opportunity for Brandon Aubrey. But knowing that he hit that 66-yarder, Kevin, I still have zero doubt. Because, like you said, that 66-yarder he hit in the preseason was indoors with a roof. This was outdoors, open-air stadium, and he drilled it like, I got this. So the complete confidence there, and he's going to get plenty of use if the offense continues to stall out.
Is it, and you know, we will need to talk about that as the day goes along, is it weird that he makes the 57-yard field goal, and I was like, of course he did.
Of course he did.
That's still a crazy field goal to make. If you kick a ball from 57 yards and make the field goal, that's amazing. And in my head, I was like, well, sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to make
that. He's going to do that because that's what he does.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. All right. We talked about the game. Believe it or not, that probably actually wasn't the biggest Cowboys story of the weekend. Inside the historic Dak contract extension, we're going to break down some numbers for you, but also I just want to know, people's got opinions. How do you feel about this deal? Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Third down, Prescott back, looking deep to the middle. He's got a man all alone, tap at the goal line. It's Cooks for the Cowboys' first touchdown of the year, Brandon Cooks.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, Corey, I know we're going to be talking about the Dak contract in here, but how fantastic was that read, pickup, release, and touchdown to Brandon Cooks right there?
It was wonderful because in that moment, if you go back and watch the way they had everything lined up, the blitzers coming from an area where there was nobody to pick him up because Rico Dowdle's on the outside and it was an empty backfield. Everybody on the offensive line picks up their guy. Dak knows that he has to get the ball out quickly, but instead of saying, hey, I got to throw a dart over here because I got to get rid of the ball, he knows, and this is one of the things about Dak and one of the reasons that you got to love him. He knew, I got to give him, because it's a timing route on Brandon Cook's part, he's not going to turn around until he breaks on his route. And the ball, if I throw a dart over here, it's going to be right in his face. He's not going to catch it. He leaves it up in the air. Now, fortunately, Brandon Cooks had all day once he lost his defender on that.
Yeah.
But because the ball was floating still, it allowed Brandon Cooks to get underneath it and catch it for the touchdown. Wonderful job by the offensive line to hold up. Wonderful job by Dak Prescott to deliver the throw and Brandon Cooks to get the TD.
Now, a lot of different reaction already from the 817. And I'm going to dive into the weeds on some of the finances here. From the 214, Dak should have to work for that contract. From the 817, very nervous about the Dak deal. He needs to be better come playoff time for that kind of money. From the 561, I think this is a very fair point. No surprises, but damn it, us fans got beaten over the head with this contract talk BS for months and months, knowing this was the end result. From the 812, the deal doesn't bother me. He'll be out of the top five by this time next year. I actually think that is correct. And so
hold on. Every quarterback around the NFL clap their hands whenever Dak signs this, right?
Yeah.
Because they understand that just continues to go up for them.
Absolutely. And I don't care if you're a younger quarterback. If you're C.J. Stroud, you did a fist pump yesterday as well. I will tell you this. Where I learned the news of Dak Prescott getting his contract extension in church.
Huh.
So, I know. It was weird. And I took out my phone briefly in church, which I'm usually not a supporter of unless you're on your Bible app or whatever. I'm not going to beat people down with religion. But the people were up there singing and they were like, there's three great things. It's the start of football season. Cowboys are playing. And the Cowboys just made Dak the highest paid player.
How did they know?
And I was like, hold on just a second.
How did they know? Wasn't it praise be Jesus? Like, what's going on here? How did the choir know, Kevin? Or was it the preacher?
No, it was somebody from the choir.
Wow.
I cannot speak to their prep
for
church or for singing, but they knew it. And I sat there and I perked up. And my wife looked at me and she goes, did you know that? And I was like, no.
You didn't step out into the hallway,
no,
Kevin.
No, I should have. You're right. You are right.
In the house of the Lord.
You're right.
You were like, you know what, Lord? I'm going to ignore you for just a minute. You know what, though? Lord probably said to you.
You know what?
I gave you the Cowboys, so pay attention.
I want to start a new segment called Monday Confessionals. Here's my Monday confessional. If you want to get included on the Twitch, the YouTube, the text, Monday confessional, I don't have as much respect for worship in terms of the singing at church as I should. I know a lot of people, that's their favorite part. Like, I'm a boring person who's like, hey, let's get into it. Let's like dive into the message. So I have to admit, I need to have better respect for the songs they're singing.
Okay. Whenever they say, all right, now go shake somebody's hand, do you do that? Do you get into that part, or is that always awkward
for
you?
One more quick thing, and I swear to God, we'll get back in the Cowboys. That we've been going to a new church. It's a really nice church, but what they want you to do is hug somebody. I don't care for that. I do not care for that. All right.
Because of COVID.
No.
Makes sense.
You know me. I don't like hugging people. All right. So here's some of the basics for the Dak deal. In case you've heard it, maybe didn't understand it, maybe you haven't heard it yet. 4 years, $240 million with $231 million of it guaranteed. Here's the key of why it's exactly 231. Because who had the previous record? Deshaun Watson at $230 million. So by every metric, and look, I know people are going to go back to this quote. This is from Dak Prescott months and months ago. I'm not trying to be the highest paid necessarily, but by every metric you can imagine, he became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Highest paid in terms of money per year, highest paid in terms of most guaranteed money, highest paid in terms of biggest signing bonus, and on and on and on and on. And I know some people are upset about this. Here's what I'm going to go back to. I'm just going to tell you from a business standpoint. I'm not making a value judgment on what you think about Dak. Everyone can feel free to give in their own opinions. I was at the Dallas Card Show this weekend in Allen, right?
Feel like
you knew that. It was super awesome.
Rub it in.
But I had a conversation with multiple people who were like, well, you need to just let Dak walk.
Okay.
And I said, that's fine, but you do know that he counts $40 million against the cap next year.
Right.
And I got several, no, because he won't be on the team anymore. And I was like, I hear you, but because of the way they do the void years, if Dak walked, $40 million was going to be his cap hit next year.
Okay.
You know what it's going to be now?
I will tell you, in my feeling, knowing that, I was fine with it.
Okay.
I was willing to bite that bullet and move on.
Because you're willing to do what?
Rebuild.
Exactly. All right? Exactly. And what did you hear? Jerry said, Steven said, we'll have Steven coming up at about noon after we have Richard Sherman, the jam-packed. This will put us in the best position to win the Super Bowl right now.
Okay.
And you can't argue with that. Like, if you took a step back to Corey's idea that I don't hate either, and you're like, our salary cap is F next year, and we don't have a quarterback, and our record was too good this year to draft a quarterback, that you're going to be in the midst of a rebuilding process. Cowboys don't want to do that. They're like, keep me close now.
I don't know all the details here, Kevin, but in 4 years, 5 years, are we going to be in that same position where we have $40 million of dead money if he retires?
I can almost guarantee it. Now, here's how the Cowboys are going to spin it, all right? He was set to cost $40 million next year. I think with the way they're going to set this deal up, now we haven't gotten an official number breakdown year by year just yet, but I think with the way they're going to set it up, it's going to be somewhere between a cap hit of $33 to $42 million next year. That would be my guess.
He is rich.
So the Cowboys are going to spin it like this. Dak's going to cost us $2 million more than he was, or Dak's going to cost us negative $7 million compared to what he was if he walked.
Okay.
That's a no-brainer to keep. Now, does that ignore the finances in 26, 27, 28, 29, and after the deal's over? Yes, of course it does. But that's how it gets pitched. The Cowboys are going to pitch that they saved money or didn't lose any money by extending Dak Prescott. So when people are like, I don't like that they signed the deal, the Cowboys painted themselves into such a corner that I feel like this was the only option they thought they had because they don't have the stomach for a rebuild.
Okay, so when can I use the money that I'm saving on him?
All right.
This year, next year?
Now, that is another great question. Next year, because who are you going to get this year?
Scrap heap.
Exactly. So if, and I think that's what frustrates a lot of Cowboys fans, right? Is this not, if I would have told you, I don't know, 4 months ago, that this is exactly where the deal was going to end up, wouldn't you have been like, I could see that?
Yes.
Okay. So then you could have restructured some things then to potentially set your cap up for things this season. But the Cowboys chose not to do that because I get it. It's part of the show. Deadlines make deals and everything like that. That's the frustrating part to me. Whenever the Cowboys talk about, hey, it's a smaller part of the pie now available because Dak is getting paid so much, blah, 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 blah. In the first year, you could have created money for this season. I realize you would have sold out your salary cap even more for future years. But if you think you have a good team, why would you not be like, hey, maybe we are two pieces away from like being right up there with the Niners or the Lions or the Chiefs or whoever you want to reflect to. And I think that's the part that is kind of agitating. It's agitating to me. I don't know if that's agitating to Cowboys fans, but if they would have made this move 4 months ago, 6 months ago, we wouldn't have talked about it all offseason. And I understand that, and I would be appreciative of that. But you also could have used some of that savings, used some of that money now.
To add probably an offensive weapon is what I would have done.
Yes.
Looking at the way that the offense played out yesterday, because, yeah, I don't think the Cowboys in the second half had to do much. But
and
their,
they didn't.
Their offense did not look, it looked clunky yesterday.
Absolutely.
Early on, I said, look, man, this thing looks like they've never played together. It looks like they missed a whole preseason of playing together, which they did. But if you had another weapon aside from CeeDee Lamb, maybe you're feeling a little more comfortable because, like you just said, you did the deal a while back and you were able to add a piece in the offseason. And I don't know how this works, Kevin. Trades during the season. In the baseball, you're like, go find the crappiest team, trade for one of their better players, and take on their salary.
Sure.
In the NFL, can you do that? Can you, with the salaries and all that, is it a little different?
You can.
Because I don't know if you want to add that piece in the middle of the season, you're like, we are ready. We just need this one thing.
But that's another thing. If they're going to argue that now we'll have that money available to make a run at that thing, okay. I accept that as well.
Okay.
I absolutely accept that. Don't know if they will use that money, but you have the opportunity for that. By the way, I'm sorry. I do see some people like, hold on. Kevin put Jesus behind the Cowboys. I'm sorry. I will admit for about a minute, I needed to know the details of...
It's God's football team.
You know what?
That's why there's a hole in the roof.
That's a great point. That was the old stadium.
There's still a hole in the roof.
That is a very fair point. And if you missed it in the opening segment, we brought this up about 30 minutes ago. Yes, MCL sprain for Jake Ferguson. So he will miss some time, which is unfortunate, but he's not out for the rest of the year, which you brought up. People brought up on the Twitch. I was really concerned about the way he was on the field, grabbing his knee, the way he got up. So I think that's a good thing. So
you got to get that weapon back at some point. Maybe this is good reps for Scooney, good reps for Lipke. To get him back later is going to be really good.
And so something I'll remind people of when it comes to the salary cap, because remember when Dak signed his last deal, 4 years, $160 million, right? So that's $40 million per year. Do you know how many years his cap hit actually got to $40 million?
Huh.
One this year.
Okay.
So would you
that's interesting.
Yes, exactly.
That's really interesting.
Exactly. But that's also why you were going to be stuck with a $40 million price tag on the other end of it. Now, maybe seeing how old Dak is, maybe they won't be as aggressive with that. Because before they're like, hey, he'll be a free agent at 31. Like, let's sell out. Maybe they won't be as aggressive this time. But I don't think you're going to see anywhere near a $60 million cap hit. Like I said, I think it's going to end up being closer to like 35 to 42. And then you're going to see an escalation. And the people who are texting in are right. In a year, in 18 months, this will be sixth on the list
of
average yearly value.
Yeah,
it'll
go down
like
and it'll be up. But Kevin, I mean, there's three things here. One, on the 469, not true, Corey. The blinds are open now so God can watch through the windows. And then from the 214, the real reason they signed Dak was they saw Shador Saturday night and were like, nah.
Man, his offensive line got beat down.
One of the things I heard Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show talk about this morning was, yes, the payment is significant, and now it is on Dak for the future of him, for how Cowboys fans look at him. to win. Like that is how do you get the team to follow you to a win and not be burnt out when it matters the most? How do you get over that hump of winning, being that guy that did what you said you wanted to do, win the Super Bowl here in Dallas, because it's different than it is anywhere else to win one here. Now he has to solidify that part of it because, Kevin, the money has been spent on you. So now you have to deliver the things, man, because you're making that much. Go do that part of it, man. Get the team to be with you.
And from the 903, people are curious about the no trade clause or the no franchise clause. We've got Stephen Jones coming up at noon. I'm hoping he will reveal that information to us, but we will definitely ask about it. With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what was the best game you saw or most interesting outcome of the NFL weekend? I have a feeling one game is going to take over this discussion. Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
Back to throw, Watson on third down. Pressure up the middle of the line. Parsons has him now. Good coverage, because that was one where he was looking around. And Parsons, who was close to play before, breaks through for his first sack.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan on a Cowboys victory Monday. They went over the Browns 33-17 in a game that honestly wasn't even really that close. Quick other note for you, because I know some people love the Rangers who have been on fire. I just need them to finish the season going 17-1, and we're right back in this thing. Marcus Simeon, that's a real number, by the way. Marcus Simeon has been selected as the Texas Rangers nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award. And I just think that's really cool. I know we're doing football all day, and I understand why that is, but I just thought that was a cool nod. I can only imagine how honored you feel for that.
That is cool. And Jack Leiter over the weekend had another good start. And Kevin, I don't know if you're paying attention to the Rough Riders, but Cole Drake at the Rough Riders has had two awesome starts in his last two. So keep an eye on that kid.
Pitching has really picked up in the last month or so. All right. Now, we can talk about the Cowboys more here if you like, of course. But my other question is, what was the best game you saw, or let's go with the most interesting outcome of the NFL weekend? Because I'm going to go to cut number 20, where I assume for a lot of people, it's this.
Third and goal to go just outside the three. A heavy set. Three tight ends are in. Osborne motions left to right. Brissett under center. Stevens in the back. He takes the handoff. He runs it to the right side. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
The New England Patriots defeated the Cincinnati Bengals 16-10 It was a stunning upset. But I'm going to use Yahoo to really hammer home that point.
Hammer it.
Yahoo has a survivor. I mean, I want that. Yahoo has a survivor pool. Like a lot of different websites. You hear the G-Bag Nation. Man, you should tune in today. See how those bets went.
Oh, they all going to die.
43.59% of all Yahoo survivor pools were eliminated in the first weekend on the first Sunday afternoon time slot because they picked the Bengals to beat the Patriots. Think about it. Almost half of Yahoo's survivor pool for the year got wiped out by one game. That was a stunning outcome.
And Kevin, it doesn't sound like anything's getting any better up in Bengal land. The game, Ja'Marr Chase said, "I just wish we had more opportunities to make plays." He had 6 catches for 62 yards. And then when he was asked, If his play was limited because of his time on the practice field, he said, "I don't know. You got to ask coach on that. I don't know." So it doesn't sound good there. Now, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe he's doing some posturing for his contract here.
Surprised he played?
Yes and no. With T. Higgins out, which, listen, man, the hamstring is what it is, but he's also franchise tagged. And he doesn't want to get himself hurt under a franchise tag. So maybe his hamstring's a little more hurt than it actually is. But Ja'Marr Chase, he had to go out there because they had nothing else. And he needed to be there for Joe Burrow. And it wasn't good, man. But you know what, though? It was exactly the way the Patriots wanted to play that game.
Sure.
Mayo was like, look, I don't have an offense that can keep up with y'all's offense. I got to figure out how to make this, muck this thing up and make it a sloppy, nasty game. And that's exactly what it was. They ran the ball really strong with Ramondre Stevenson. And they said, you know what? We're going to do everything we can defensively to fly all over the field. But they did an exceptional job of keeping the Bengals offense from doing what it wanted to do.
Zach Taylor did an exceptional job of closing out the game poorly as well. Look, I know we're not to Wanker of the Weekend yet.
He's 1-5 in season openers, by the way.
So they'll be fine.
So they should have just expected
that. Joe Burrow stays healthy. They'll be fine. They'll figure it out, probably. But this has got to be the worst loss of that group, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 1-5.
Considering you think that a lot of people think the Patriots are going to end this season with the number one overall
pick. Yeah. Okay. So there's less than 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go. The Bengals have the ball at their own 15. It's 4th and 5, and they punt. I'm going to tell you now, I'm never going to be a fan of that. I understand that you're like, hey, and then we still got the 2 minute warning. I understand all of that. You're losing the game. You have the ball in your hand. I don't care where you are on the field. You have an opportunity to keep the ball and win. And instead they punted. And guess what? The Patriots got a first down and the game was over and the Bengals never got the ball back. I don't like that philosophy. I didn't like it yesterday. I'm never going to like it.
Joe Burrow was pressured on just 6 of his 35 dropbacks, Kevin.
Man.
That's the third lowest pressure rate he's faced. So, again, that's what they did. They said our linebackers and our secondary, they're going to stay in coverage and force you to find something. And he couldn't. He was sacked 3 times, completed just 1 of his pass attempts under pressure there. And then, Kevin, the Bengals lost 2 fumbles in this game. They lost just 2 fumbles the entire season last year.
That means they're set.
No. Okay. The rest of the year, you know what? That's a positive way to look at it, Kevin. And look at you coming in here. Cowboys get a win. You're positive.
Forget that. If people are going to complain about the Cowboys win, then this is what I'm going to say. The Bengals are screwed. If you think that Dak deal sucks, what's that Joe Burrow deal going to look like? That team just lost to the worst team in football, except for maybe the Giants or definitely the Panthers.
The Panthers are miserable.
Yes. So they just lost to a terrible team. They fumbled as much as they did all season. They are screwed. If that is better, then that's what I'm going to go with. By the way, Jacoby Brissett, not afraid to cry. He said, I think I cried 3 times before the game.
I think he also got cried that time that it looked like his ribs got destroyed. But he got up and got back out there.
True.
He was toughing it out for that team, man. I mean, they weren't very great, but he won.
Now I'm going to go to, man, I feel like Caleb Williams and the Bears heard what you just said.
Absolutely.
Like, get to us. All right. I know this happened on Friday night, but if you could fire off cut number 22, I thought this was an amazingly entertaining game. And it had a very noteworthy injury involved as well.
Final 3 seconds from Brazil. Willis slips. Willis steps up. Goes down. Game ender.
Now, the Eagles win that game 34-29. And I know we're going to go around the NFC East at 120. But the most notable thing probably about this was Jordan Love getting hurt right toward the end of the game. It's odd how similar that felt to Jake Ferguson in terms of when you first saw it, you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Both end up suffering sprained MCLs. Jordan Love is expected to be out 3 to 6 weeks. That might be the logical time frame to look at for Jake Ferguson as well, because in case you missed it to kick off the show, ACL intact for Jake Ferguson. Confirmation, he does have a sprained MCL. So perhaps you're looking at 3 to 6 weeks there, but he will be able to return this season.
So it's Malik Willis time is what you're saying. Let's go. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Good, for them.
No one in the last 2 years. I thought that was a very entertaining game. It was in a cool setting. It had a noteworthy outcome and a noteworthy injury that came along with
it. How was the crowd for you? Did you enjoy that environment?
Yeah. I really did. I understand. I don't know how sustainable it is if you had like multiple games at all of these different places year over year over year. But that's one thing. I'm kind of a sucker for the international series that the NFL puts on, because it usually feels like most crowds are like, this is our one chance.
Darius Slay make it back? Did everything
yes,
work out for him?
He is, as far as I know,
Kevin, I like to throw out my game that I thought was a blast yesterday, and I don't know how much more we have on this conversation, but It was Texans-Colts like I thought.
Yeah.
Texans-Colts. By the way, Joe Mixon was phenomenal. 159 yards on 30 carries. Here's the numbers that stand out to me, though, on C.J. Stroud. On third and fourth down, 9 for 9, 85 yards and 2 touchdowns. On third and fourth down throughout that game, Anthony Richardson shows that he has a huge arm. I would like to see him throw underneath a little more to Michael Pittman, but he is a big play guy. Like, Anthony Richardson's always looking for the big play. That was a lot of fun. There's some coaching decisions that you could probably be like, hey, man, what are we doing here? But the Anthony Richardson that we saw, going to be exciting for a while. And then Joe Mixon, I believe after the game, was like, I finally found a team that's good.
I mean, he looks really good.
And that's going to be a fun team to follow for Reggie.
By the people, okay, that's a good point. By the way, for the record, Corey said, what do you think about the crowd? He didn't say, what do you think about the field that they played on, all right? I answered the question about the crowd.
I did say the crowd. That is true.
Not the trash field that they played on. I understand what you guys are saying.
Also, Stephon Diggs looked pretty good, by the way, so to start things off.
You know why, right? Because he didn't forget how to effing play football.
He did not.
That was an actual quote from him. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, and maybe have a little bit of time for Longhorns talk as well. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.